Welcome to this Ash Wednesday worship service as we begin the season of Lent. This evening we'll have the imposition of ashes as well as the sacrament of communion. In both instances, you will be invited to come forward by a couple of our deacons, and there will be two stations to receive the sacrament of communion. And when it comes time for the imposition of ashes, you may choose not to have ashes. You may choose to have them on your forehead or on your hand. Whatever you would present to us. All of the bread that will be served this evening is gluten-free in case you have a dietary issue. Let us join together in our responsive call to worship. God sent Christ into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him.
God's love endures forever.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
God's love endures forever.
Together, join me in prayer. Almighty God, you despise nothing you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who trust in you. Create in us new and contrite hearts that truly repenting of our sin and acknowledge our brokenness, we may receive from you, the God of all mercy, full pardon and forgiveness. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may remain seated as we sing our opening hymn, Lord, who throughout these 40 days. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive only ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, then God, who is faithful, will forgive us and restore us into a right relationship with one another as well as with God. Let us come before God with penitent hearts. Together, join praying with me our prayer of confession. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out our transgressions, wash away our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach us wisdom in the inmost place. Create in us a pure heart, O God, and a new and steadfast spirit within us. Do not cast us from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and grant us a willing spirit to sustain us. Amen. As the psalmist reminds us, as high as the heavens are above the earth, that is how far God removes our sin from us. As far as the east is from the west, that is how far God removes our transgressions. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Praise be to God. Amen. Join me in our prayer of illumination. Our Lord God, as your scripture is read, we ask that you open our minds to receive it, our ears to hear it, and our hearts to do it. May those things that are read or said this evening that are true be engraved upon every heart. And if anything is false, may it be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. Scripture text for this evening comes from one of the creation stories that is found in Genesis, the book of beginnings. It is the end of the story of Adam and Eve and the temptation in the garden. This coming Sunday, we will be looking at the temptation of Jesus as it is found in Matthew's gospel. This is God's word of judgment and grace to Adam. Then to Adam, God said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." May God add understanding to the reading of that word. The text I'd like for us to reflect upon comes from that final verse. "For you are dust, and unto dust you shall return." In his most recent book, David Brooks, a columnist, a commentator, a best-selling author, in the book The Road to Character, he says that there are two kinds of virtues in life. There are resume virtues and there are eulogy virtues. Resume virtues are those virtues that are valued in the marketplace. If you're a student, it may be high test scores. If you're a person in labor, it may be professional success and achievements. These virtues result in being perhaps on the honor roll, winning an athletic title or crown, winning a job title, or receiving a larger paycheck, or having a corner office. Resume virtues appear in an obituary, but they do not really define the essence of a person's character. I remember doing a funeral service of a well-known political figure in a previous community. And as I met with the family about the service and I asked them about the deceased, they were unusually evasive. Finally, the wife spoke up and she said, "I know that you have to say nice things about him, but the truth of the matter is, although he was well known and respected in the community, he was not a nice man at home." What a sad commentary. Success and fame are good up to a point. But as Jesus once asked his disciples, what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and to lose their soul? Eulogy virtues, unlike resume virtues, are virtues of character. They are things like humility, kindness, and bravery. They are the remembrances that you leave behind. While Brooks does not say this explicitly, I wonder if he knew, being a practicing Roman Catholic, that eulogy virtues parallel the spiritual virtues that are found in the epistles. Unconditional love, love with no strings attached, a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, as the apostle wrote in the first letter to the Corinthians. Virtues of joy and peace, a peace that passes all human understanding. The virtue of patience and generosity, gentleness, self-control, and kindness. These define who we are. These are the things that matter most in the living of our lives. Remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Every day, I believe, we are writing a page in our own legacy. Lent is a time for self-reflection and examination, a time for prayer and perhaps fasting. This evening, as we take the first steps into the Lenten journey, let us make the commitment to have this be a truly holy Lent. Let us build upon our eulogy virtues. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. I invite you to observe a holy Lent with our litany of penitence. Holy and merciful God, restore us and of our salvation, and show us your steadfast love.
Have mercy on us, O God. Turn us in mercy, redeem us.
Amen. You may come forward to receive the imposition of ashes if you wish. Remember, you are dust, and into dust you shall return. Remember, you are dust. Join me in our litany of response. Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation,
that we may show forth your glory in the world.
By the cross and passion of our Savior,
bring us with all your saints to the joy of Christ's resurrection.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. Men and women will come from north and south, east and west, who sit at table in God's kingdom. This is the Lord's table, and he invites those who trust in him to enjoy the meal that he has prepared for us. According to the Gospel of St. Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Would you join me in our great prayer of thanksgiving? Our Lord God, we are thankful that in the beginning you brought order out of chaos, that you brought light into the midst of darkness. We are thankful that you created us in the divine image. We are thankful that you called our ancestor Abraham to be the father of many nations. We offer prayers of thanksgiving that you called Moses to lead our spiritual ancestors out of the chains of slavery and set them on a journey toward the promised land, that place flowing with milk and honey. And when they stumbled because of fear and wandered off into the wilderness, even there you did not desert them, but you provided manna from heaven and quail and water from a rock. When a new generation arose and a new leader arose amongst them, Joshua, they entered into that land that you promised long ago. You sent the prophets to remind them of your claim upon their lives and your call, their purpose. And when they strayed from that call and purpose, when they turned a deaf ear, and when they killed and stoned the prophets, even then you did not abandon them. Throughout exile and longing, Roman occupation, you were with them. At the right time, you became one of us, the very incarnation of yourself, in a child named Jesus, born of Mary and Joseph, in a town called Bethlehem. This name literally means the house of bread. The bread of life came into this world. He taught and healed and served. He was betrayed by someone he trusted, denied by someone he loved, and abandoned by all who had followed him. He was crucified, and when he died, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Just when everyone thought the story of your mighty acts was complete, the women went to the tomb and found the great stone rolled away. And they were asked, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? You seek Jesus of Nazareth, but he is not here. He has been raised as he told you he would. Go and tell the others." And that is our charge. That is our call, to tell the good news of the gospel. As we prepare to receive this meal instituted by you, prepared by you through human hands, may we be emboldened and nourished to continue to tell the story of your amazing, forgiving love. Together we pray as Jesus first taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." On the night of his arrest, when Jesus was with his disciples, after he had given thanks, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat all of you, for this is my body, broken for you." In the very same manner, after they had supped, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant that has been sealed in my blood. As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you are proclaiming the death of the Lord until he comes." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. All who believe in me will never hunger, and all who trust in me will never thirst." He also said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Cut off from me, you can do nothing. The invitation has been given, the table has been set. Let us enjoy the meal that our Lord has prepared for us. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Our Lord God, we are thankful for this meal that we can share in the spirit with you and for the many ways in which you have made us new and strong and bring to us life eternal. We ask that as we take this journey into the season of Lent toward the celebration of your resurrection and Easter, the very heart of the Christian faith, may we have a time of reflection and repentance. May we learn to return no one evil for evil or reviling for reviling. May we learn to love as freely as you and Christ have loved us. May we reflect your face. In Christ's name we very humbly pray. Amen. Our final hymn is number 636, Abide With Me.
When all the hell
sons every passing hour. What but thy grace can fool the tempter's heart? Who like thyself, my guide and stay?
That will never let you go, the peace of Christ that passes all human understanding, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that knits us together as the body of Christ here on earth, may these three things live in your hearts so that you may produce the fruit of God's kingdom every day of your life. Amen.